Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. It is Wednesday, February 12th. That
Woohoo!
means it is time for Under the Radar. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by David Griggs, John Salika, and David Dorman back with us as well. Great to see you guys, and we're here for Under the Radar. So, Salika, what the hell are we here for? What is Under the Radar?
Well, we got tired of the old school under the radar format, but the rules are pretty much the same here. These are going to be the 22 regular one bid league. So we're not going to be talking about the Power Four conferences, nor are we going to be talking about the Big East, the A10, the American, the Mountain West, or the West Coast. Sorry, this guy will not be featured in the second conference. We are not going to be talking about an under the radar team if they're in the top 25, which is currently not forecast to happen. Sorry, Drake. Sorry, Irvine.
Yep, no, we have not had one in the top 25 all season for, I believe, the first time ever since we've been doing this show. We only have a couple weeks left of it all. So actually, only two more shows after tonight for Under the Radar. Wow.
Yeah, I
we're
guess
getting off the season.
Yeah. Yeah, well, but I mean, we'll still be covering all the conference tournaments, but yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But anyhow, what we're going to do is go through all the conferences in alphabetical order, except for a feature conference that we like to start the show off with. And I was actually kind of surprised when I was looking at my list of what conferences we've featured so far this season that we had not featured this one. I thought it was a really good week to actually feature it, especially with Stalika, since you're joining us and your conference is near and dear to your heart as well. But let's go with a little action here tonight for our feature conference, the Mid-American Conference, coming off of the conclusion of the Sun Belt MAC Challenge, also having the team at the top there with the longest winning streak of the nation. So there's a lot of reasons to be covering this conference tonight. And how about the MAC there?
So yeah, you look at the head of the MAC right now, you get the top three teams all winning their games with Miami beating Troy, Akron beating South Alabama, and Toledo also beating James Madison. But one of the reasons why it's a tie and not a victory for the MAC is a hot, hot, hot App State team actually went to Athens and beat the Bobcats by 13 points.
Oh, what a promo.
But well, first of all, for those out there, the MAC women did beat the Sun Belt women in their half of the challenge. So I think the MAC technically gets the title this year. But this has been 8-4 Sun Belt since they played back at opening night. So 8-4 MAC. Now, the first 12 games back at opening night of the season were at the Sun Belt schools. These were all at the MAC schools. But both conferences went 8-4 at home, Griggs. But
yeah, which is, you know, the home team wins about 2/3 of the time or more. So right on brand. Looking at this league, you had made the observation and have made it all year that that there's an Ohio division and a non-Ohio division, and the Ohio division dominates. They've got five of the top six spots, Bowling Green being the exception. Miami is probably the best story out of this. Travis Steele, they're probably the most improved, but I don't think they're going anywhere. I just think Akron is running roughshod over it. I just said in my notes, even when they look bad, they look good even when they look bad. They didn't particularly play that well against, was it, I think it was Western Michigan, and they still won without really having to sweat by double digits. And one of the questions I'm starting to have is how dangerous potentially is Akron and in the round of 64, and how high of a seed can they end up getting?
Well, Dorman, what about that question? I just pulled up there on the left. There is that Akron profile. I mean,
yeah,
they haven't beat much of anybody, but this could be a dangerous team. We just don't know. They haven't played anybody.
Correct. They got the win at Princeton. That'll always show well. To answer Griggs' question, I think 13 would be the high, would be, you know, the best seed they could get. That would be running through this conference and then running through the conference tournament to do the double. I think the ceiling is a 13. If I had to guess right now, I think be between a 14 and a 15. But I'm with you. I love the way Grocci has coached this team. He's done a great job ever since he got fired at Illinois. But he knows the MAC. He knows what he's doing here. And I'm with Griggs. This is a dangerous Akron team. You're not going to want to see in the first round.
Yeah, I don't think if they win out, I don't see them being any worse than a 13.
Okay.
I mean, I certainly don't see them dropping to a 15. One of the potential landmines is that game at Ohio. Ohio has underachieved a little bit, but they have had moments of greatness. But like I think Akron wins out. I don't think.
Well, I'll offer more landmines. A game at Toledo, March 4th, and the home game against Kent State. That is the wagon wheel. That's a huge
Well,
rivalry.
yeah,
Doesn't
the
matter where
wagon
it's
wheel.
played.
But
And another
it
thing we have to keep in mind is Akron and Miami only played one time this
Yep.
year, and Akron won in blowout fashion
Yeah, they
then.
blew him into the sun.
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, I do have to applaud Chad for getting Mother Miami to work for here.
Per request, yes. If you type Mother Miami in, Miami, Ohio does come up here. But Slicka, what about this Travis Steele's team here? This has been clearly the story of the MAC, despite how well Akron's playing. Just I
Yeah,
don't
but
know if
Akron's good
anybody picked.
every year. If Miami's not, so yeah, they're the
Yeah, no,
story.
nobody picked them to be up here with a real shot at least the 2 seed of the conference tournament.
I know it's the Xavier fan in me that keeps expecting a meltdown by a Steel team in mid to late February, but it hasn't happened yet. And if you look at their schedule, the only two teams remaining within the state of Ohio are going to be Kent State and also their road trip to Ohio, which is going to be the Battle of the Bricks on March the 1st. And yes, that is a real rivalry. It's not one that we've made up.
Battle of the Bricks. That's a new one for me. I did not know that name.
Oh, yeah, you're not from Ohio. Yeah, the
No,
Battle
I'm
of the
not from
Bricks.
Ohio.
Yeah.
But Dorman, though, Griggs mentioned earlier that when you look down these standings, there are all those Ohio teams: Toledo, Ohio, Kent State, Bowling Green, sitting in 10th, but only a game behind the three-way tie for 7th. So we could have all six of these teams making the top 8 and qualifying for the conference tournament, even.
Absolutely. Bowling Green only needs to win a couple games in a row and they'll shoot up the standings. It's very possible only the tournament's all Ohio. They're clearly way better than the rest of the conference, the Michigan and Illinois schools. And I'm with the guys here. I think the Miami Ohio team is they are up a couple games on that second seed. So it looks like if they can hold serve there, they'll get their shot at Akron. If they can win the conference tournament in the championship game, that would be fantastic because I think those two teams are the best I've seen this
Yeah, and let's not forget about teams like Kent State here in 5th place also, since we take a deeper dive in this conference. That's very impressive that win over a very good Arkansas State team in the challenge on Saturday.
year. Yeah, we'll get to Arkansas State later in the show. A really good team. And that was a good win. That one actually made me sit up and take notice that maybe the MAC is better than what we had thought. It's not as good as it typically is, at least not from top to bottom. But for Akron to go out there and beat probably one of the better, if not the best, Sun Belt team, that was a good win.
Kent
But if a
State.
team
Or
like this were a
yeah.
whole sorry, Kent State, Akron just went out there. Well, they beat whoever they play.
Akron beat a South Alabama team that had been back when the
Yeah.
announcements were made, one of the best teams in the Sun Belt. South Alabama's fallen
Yeah.
off a little bit here.
I was going to say, if the order of the standings hold up here, that would be a dangerous semifinal between Akron and Kent State up in Cleveland, because we know Kent would love to play spoiler here.
Oh, yeah.
Kent would have to get past Ohio to get there, even though. So
Yeah. I would
don't
still
leave out the
take Kent State
Bobcats.
in that matchup.
Upcoming this week, Ohio at Kent is the Friday night national TV game. Akron is going to be at Central Michigan hosting Northern Illinois. So Akron really needs to go 2-0 this week, than they should. Miami
Yeah, I
at
think they
Western
should.
Michigan and at Eastern Michigan.
Not
Both road
easy.
games. Both road games. That's the
Yeah.
problem there. Let's go ahead and run back through the rest of the leagues here, starting off in the America East. And
Look at that.
it was almost a week ago now, but how about Bryant at home losing to Albany at Dorman? I mean, this Bryant team had just been on cruise control of the conference until till last week.
I was surprised by that score. I didn't think they were going to go through the conference without losing, but my guess to who they would have lost to would not have been Albany. They were playing really good. They were playing confident. They were playing tough basketball. They've really started to play better on the defensive end, I think, Brian. But Maine is right there, and I think this Maine team is very talented. They're a game back in the conference, and I think this is very much an open conference right now for all the seeds, for that matter.
Yeah, especially these top three, this top
Yeah.
probably top three, Bryant, Maine, Vermont, trying to get back in things. They went and won. They actually got the win at Albany. But Griggs, Lowell, another team we've been following early in this season, they lost that game at Binghamton, and that might be it for anything other than a run in the conference tournament for this team.
Yeah, and I mean, really, the best they can hope for now is to try and get to host a quarterfinal game. They still have talent, they still have pieces. You don't want to just dismiss them entirely. And maybe they can go to Bryant and win, but sort of a disappointing run through conference lately.
Upcoming this week, Bryant has a pair of home games against the bottom two teams, so they better go 2-0.
Yeah.
Well, from the big one Saturday, Sleeka, Vermont at Maine. Is this where ESPN Game Day is going to be?
Well, if it were hockey
Yeah.
East, yes, but this is also going to be a potential preview for who would be hosting a semifinal match should these two teams advance in the America East tournament.
Yeah, this will be huge. If Maine gets this win, they are in the driver's seat for at least the two seed.
They are.
Lowell Albany on Thursday should be a good game.
And then Lowell has to go to New Hampshire on Saturday after that. Oh, and Vermont's got New Hampshire at home on Thursday. Griggs, over in the A Sun Conference, and how about these standings? Six teams within a game of first place. I mean, you want a wide open conference, you got one right here.
Yeah, and a four-way tie. Lipscomb, we sort of have a big separation weekend with Lipscomb playing Gulf Coast and North Alabama playing Jacksonville. So something's got to give, doesn't it? I still like Lipscomb as far as thinking that they're the best team in the conference, but North Alabama also right there. It's log jam, but I still maybe I'm still sticking to my guns with Lipscomb, thinking that they can finish first and then get home court advantage and then get the auto bid. But man, this one's been fun and nothing's decided yet. I mean, what a big weekend this is.
Well, and yeah, when you look at it, this is a conference who plays a conference tournament on campus sites. You got six teams in the battle for first place, and then you look at seventh and eighth place. You got a North Florida team that was had some big wins early in the season, an Austin Peay team that we liked heading into the season.
Yeah, we did, or I did.
You might have eight teams that could win this thing, and so the seedings would be huge for getting those home games.
Yeah, it will be. And the conference tournament format is the top eight, is that correct?
Top 10, actually.
Or
The
top 10, okay.
there will be an 8, a 7, 8, and a 9, 10 game that will be played at the 1 and the 2 seeds the day before the quarterfinals.
Okay, I had
11
a
and
note
12 aren't,
here.
11 and 12 are not invited.
Okay, yeah, I had a note here that Bellarmine was five games out of eighth place with only six remaining. But if 10 are getting in, they're only two games out of 10th.
Yes.
So no eliminations this week yet. That would have been an early elimination.
That would have been. We're still probably about a week and a half, realistically. We've got a few teams that are getting close, but probably about a week and a half, I
We
guess.
might have one Saturday. It's possible. We'll get to when we
We'll
get to
get
the
there.
elite seeding.
I don't think it would be a clinch elimination. But we'll see. Anyhow, games coming up tomorrow night. We suddenly have a ton of good games here. Stetson and Lipkin, North Florida, North Alabama. Jacksonville is playing as a road game. Queens has a road game. Like you mentioned, Saturday, Gulf Coast at Lipscomb, Jackson at North Alabama. This feels like the SEC, the number of games I'm circling here. Jacksonville at Gulf Coast on Tuesday.
Keep your eye on Eastern Kentucky. I like this Colonels team. I think they're starting to play much better. I think they were injured and banged up early in the season, so they got off to a rough start. But this Colonels team is starting to play much better lately.
Good call.
But moving on here, Stalika, over the Big Sky Conference, Northern Colorado had a chance to pretty much cement the conference regular season title this past, last week when they hosted Montana, but Montana went and got the road win at NoCo, and now it's wide open again between
This
those two
is not a
teams.
case where the road win exchange program is going to help both teams right here because Montana was either Montana, Northern Colorado, or within a country mile of Annapolis. So now you've suddenly got a competitive race right here for a tournament that's not going to be on campus sites.
Right. So again, how much is really at stake there since it's not on campus sites, but still to get the one seed, it is technically the easier path. Does anybody else, Idaho State has been kind of a fun story. They're normally not that good. Same with Idaho. But other than that, is anybody in this league that you all have seen close to either Montana or Northern Colorado? I don't think they are.
I don't
I mean,
have anyone. I thought
yeah,
Northern Colorado was gonna pull away and say goodbye, but that didn't
yeah.
happen. But no,
I
I
mean,
still.
yeah, are we just kind of going through the formalities before those two meet in the championship game?
We've seen a few upsets in the past past
Yeah.
years, especially since they moved this conference tournament to Boise. And as I'm getting a lot of noises behind me here, sorry guys.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule. Interesting game, Idaho State at Montana. You mentioned that Idaho State team is playing a lot better than expected this year. And then they'll also be hosting Weber State, while Northern Colorado's got to do the Sac State Portland State road trip this week.
So again, not e never easy to go on the road, but Sac State, perhaps one of the easier places to go to.
Portland State, that could be in a game to circle Saturday. That could be a bit of a trap game for Northern Colorado.
Yeah.
Dorman, over in the Big South Conference,
Woo-hoo.
where we still have that two-way tie for first place between Asheville and High Point. Asheville just picked up the win at Upstate, and it was a close game most of the way, surprisingly, tonight, gets a not very good Upstate team.
Yeah, they pulled it out in the end. Another one that pulled out in the end. Winthrop was losing the whole way tonight. They were down 5-6, and they pulled ahead with a few minutes to go and got the win over Radford. Winthrop playing much better ball lately. Asheville, I believe Gardner Webb over the past weekend, and they're looking strong. And my pick to win it, because I thought they were the best team in the conference, High Point, are all right there together at the top. This is going to be very interesting, but a really good final couple weeks here in the Big South should be real exciting. And then in the middle of the conference, they're all tight together too. And it's important because the three and the four is way better than the seven and the eight, where you have who you have to play and how. So we got a lot of big games coming up in the Big South. This is going to be a good finish.
Yeah, this conference tournament, by the way, I want to make a correction from last week. Those of us that watched, those of you that may have watched last week, I mentioned that the Big South tournament is in Charlotte, where it's been the last couple of years. They actually moved it this year. They're playing in Johnson City, Tennessee, this year, actually. So
Oh,
if
well,
you're on your way to Charlotte to see the Big South tournament
turn around.
next month,
Yeah, go, yeah. Turn.
it's gonna be a little tough at you. I believe I-40 is still closed west of Asheville there, so you're gonna have to go up that bound.
Chad is reimbursing your gas.
Yeah, man, that was a great game over the weekend, that Asheville High Point game. So.
It was, and now we've got coming up tomorrow night. We've got Longwood at High Point. High Point will then be hosting Charleston Southern next week, while Asheville will be hosting Charleston Southern, and then going to Radford. So those are the upcoming games to keep an eye on here. But Griggs, let's jump back over to you here for the Big West Conference,
Yeah.
where we had round two, and you want to talk road win exchange program? Here you go.
Yeah, I mean, that's a term that we coined way back in the, well, when Wichita State and Creighton were both in the Missouri Valley and were frequently hovering around the bubble or inside of it. It seemed like they would always win on each other's courts. Well, here's UC Irvine and UC San Diego doing it again, and Irvine, a very, very good defensive team. There have been games, even games where they've won, where they've kind of struggled to get their motor going offensively. But a really, really good defensive team. And UC San Diego went in there and on Irvine's home court just picked it apart And I haven't seen all of Irvine's games, but I've seen most of them. I've never seen anyone just pick them apart like that. It was an amazing showing. And then you look at UC San Diego. I know David's kind of a selection committee guessing person more so than I probably am. But when I look at this UC San Diego profile and look at where it tops out and look at the number of wins away from home, I think the committee should select this team.
Well, that's the big question. And Dorman, let me ask you that. We've got two great profiles. They both have key
Really
wins now, including the road win exchange. San
good.
Diego looked really good over this past weekend at Irvine, but Irvine looked so good at San Diego back in
Yes.
January. Can we, if these conferences can if these two teams can run the slate here in the regular season, is there a path for two bids out of the Big West?
They both got to play together. They got to play each other in the championship. That's a must. Let's look at Irvine first. 4-2 against Tier 1 and 2. That's strong. That is really good. That's something they're going to look at because those are the teams, that are in this tournament. The non-conference strength, the schedule, not going to help the Eaters there at a 200 number. Going over to San Diego, they're Tier 1 versus Tier 2, 2-2, and then versus the board also 2-2. So nothing to be ashamed of. They're strong. Utah State, San Diego beat. That's good. Utah State probably going to be in this tournament. They lost to San Diego State. San Diego State needs to hold on,
Barely.
but should be in this tournament. So they both have wins that are really nice. They both got to make the championship game, and I think it's going to be tight. But yes, if they go into the, I'm not saying they need to run the table to get to until the conference tournament, but you can't lose more than one or two. That'll be a death sentence. You can drop one, maybe. Don't drop two. Go into the conference tournament with three losses. I think the winner, I'm sorry, the loser has a shot at it in at large bid.
Right. So,
And I realize this is a bit of a limited scope, but when you look at like UC Irvine with 9 true road wins, 12 wins away from home total, and then UC San Diego with 11, and you look at the number of games they have left away from home and then the conference tournament, you're getting into the historical categorical range of where the committee's never left a team out that's won that much away from home.
and I know we brought this up earlier with two tiers in the MAC being Ohio and the non-Ohio schools. We also have the UC schools in the Big West, Cal State schools here. So you don't want to be dropping a game like a Fullerton or even a Northridge who's near the top.
Yeah, Cal State Northridge ruining the party there for the UC schools in the top five seeds in the conference tournament. We need to knock them off a few times here. Come on, guys.
Or just promote them to the UC system.
Yeah, and how about again, we've got Cal State Hawaii there in seventh place. Not an easy road trip.
And to Griggs's point there, though, give those schools great credit. Irvine and then in San Diego, the atmosphere for both those games was off the charts. Great job. They put it on national TV on ESPN over the weekend. The kids were going crazy right on the court. I give both teams a lot of credit. They got a great program going.
Irvine this week hosting Santa Barbara, and then they got the road trip to Hawaii while San Diego is going to go to Bakersfield and then host UC Davis. So
And you know
we'll
that's going
see
to
what
be
happens.
tomorrow's under the radar game of the day, the Gauch Eater Cup round one.
Couch Eater Cup Thursday night. Santa Barbara, Irvine. Oh, jeez. Salika, the Coastal Athletic Association. By the way, just want to throw a quick note up there. You're all seeing these conference ranks. That's new as of this week. These are according to KenPom, where the conference ranks 1 through 31 in the nation. But in the Coastal, maybe it's really time to start getting serious about this Towson team because there they are in sole possession of first place.
Well, I think both Towson and UNC Wilmington are going to be the teams to watch right here. Wilmington, I think, has actually had a little more exposure time on CBS Sports Network. Of course, you'd typically be seeing these teams on Flow Hoops, but to your point, yes, Towson did get a pair of road wins at Stony Brook and Monmouth to keep a firm hold on first place here.
Yeah, and Griggs, this Charleston team seems to be just barely holding on to staying up there in the standings. I mean, an overtime game over Elon. They struggled with North Carolina A&T last week, even, and there's A&T winless in the conference play.
I think they've won 3 out of 4, but like most of those have been close games against bad teams, and you sort of wonder what has happened to College of Charleston. You may have mentioned this. UNC Wilmington is insanely hot right now. They face Charleston tomorrow, and it might not be close. It might be a rather miserable experience.
There they are, while Towson's hosting Delaware and Dorman. Let's not forget about this Campbell team. They've been very quiet all season, but they're quietly sitting there at 9-3. We haven't discussed them at all, I don't think.
No, and they're just like you said, they're hanging around. The Camels are hanging around there. I don't think talent-wise they're as good as Towson, and they're going to have a rough time beating them. But yeah, they're playing much better. I think they've won 7 in a row. Coach McGeehan has done a really nice job. They're struggled in the out of conference early. I think they had a lot of transfers and a lot of new pieces, but since then, playing very good, solid basketball and rolling, getting up the charts there in their conference. They're going to be a tough out in the conference tournament. You're not going to want to see them.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun conference tournament actually between those
Right.
top four teams. William and
Yeah.
Mary, if they're hitting their shots, can beat anybody. And if they're missing their shots, will be blown out by North Carolina A&T. So.
Yeah, to give you an idea of not just the parity in the league, but the strength of it, you see everybody there, if I counted right, has played 12 games. And I did the math on this, guys. The combined record of the conference is 84-84. Very similar to what the SEC is.
All right, let's leave
You're
Carl
right there
Ramage
with the
alone.
SEC.
He did apologize for it after today. He did apologize for
Oh, if he did,
it.
okay.
He
I'll
owned
if he
up to
legit
it.
apologize, if he
I
owned
didn't
it, I
know
respect that. I'll leave him
that. Me too. He did own
alone.
it today.
Good.
Let's jump over Dorman to Conference USA. And, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about, oh, wow, how about Jacksonville State? Oh, they're winning games, they're winning games. Well, guess what? They're not losing games either.
No, they're taking hold of the conference here, playing good basketball. My thought, I thought Liberty was going to win this conference even just a couple weeks ago, but not playing their finest basketball. Jacksonville State, if someone's going to go up there and threaten them, I've been looking at UTEP. They've had some moments this year where they look like they could be really good, and then they lose their minds and start playing terrible. But they've had some opportunities, and they've looked okay at times. But Jacksonville State has really looked strong, especially lately. I think they've won 7 or 8 in a row, and they're red hot. And this is the time to get red hot when you're going right through conference play. So yes, the Gamecocks looking strong.
Yeah, and just a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that. Oh, this is going to be a great conference tournament. It's wide open. It's starting to look like it might be the team that just dominates here. Jack State lost two of their first three conference games. It hasn't lost since then.
Yeah, they've been on an absolute roll, as Dorman indicated. Liberty, I still think has the highest ceiling. They blew out Louisiana Tech, as you see in the results there, a pretty strong La Tech team. But then they also struggled to beat one of the worst teams in the conference, so they don't always play
Syracuse,
up to
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Liberty has a tough pair of road games this week at New Mexico State, at UTEP, while Jack State at Sam Houston, they should win, but the game at La Tech on Saturday could definitely be worth circling.
Yeah.
And by the way, while we're at it, we should circle the Middle Tennessee at Western Kentucky. We should
Yeah.
probably circle Kennesaw at Louisiana Tech, too. There are a lot of good games in this conference still.
Yeah. God, this league's been kind of fun. You kind of wish it had a brighter spotlight on it than what it does, because it's got some good teams.
Who are we up to here? Stalica, maybe? Horizon League, and Cleveland State, who had a little trouble with Morris Robert tonight.
Yeah, this was another game he had highlighted as a under the radar game of the day, and instead of Cleveland State pulling away from the rest of the conference, Bobby Moe, or Mo Bobby, has suddenly got themselves having won. I believe that's 9 out of their last 10, and they're only a game and a half out of first place right now, and this has by far been their best season since they've joined the Horizon League.
Griggs, I gotta ask you, if The NCAA has the name of the school down as Robert Morris, but their name is actually Morris Robert. Would they be eligible for the NCAA tournament? Should they win the conference? Should they win the Horizon League?
I'll have
Would
to look into that.
that be a problem?
We'll have to consult David Warlock on that. I think it comes down to how they go about filling out their championship credentials.
Okay.
Those are due soon, and one of my favorite questions is if you are the overall number one seed, where would you like to be sent? And the fact that all 364 teams have to answer that question in order to submit the credentials is just awesome.
I just hope they don't have to transition for what is it, 3 or 4 years, like many of the newer D1 teams have to do.
But there you go. Three-way tie now with Fort Wayne and Youngstown as well. Youngstown just with a win tonight over Fort Wayne, and they look pretty good tonight, actually. The Penguins are starting to play a little better as we head into mid-February here.
Yeah, they are. And a big game coming up, I think, against Cleveland State. This was a week where Cleveland State could have really just sprinted away from the pack, but you mentioned the loss tonight, so not over yet.
Two big ones this weekend. Fort Wayne is at Robert Morris in a second place battle, then Youngstown and Cleveland State. So keep an eye on those games. Where are we up to here? Griggs, how about the Ivy League? And one of two, along with Akron, the only other team that's left in the entire nation that's undefeated in their conference, that's the Yale
Yeah,
Bulldogs.
a really good Yale team, and we're halfway through the league. They've beaten all seven teams. They've beaten all seven teams pretty handily. I think they're clearly the best team. It wouldn't shock me to see them win their next seven and run the table. Another interesting thing that's happening now that we're halfway home is the gap between four and five. I mean, it's almost like a three-game difference with just seven games to go is a lot, and can anybody overcome that? And I don't recall, has Dartmouth ever been to the Ivy Four since they started the conference tournament? I don't think they have, so kind of exciting for them. But what a tournament that would be. Princeton, I still think, has been underperforming a little bit, although it's not that they're doing bad. It's just that I think that they were capable of doing a lot better. But I really like this Yale team. I think they're bound for the 12 line. I don't think they can get selected without winning the auto bid, but I think they'll win the auto bid, and they're going to be one of those teams that if you're a five seed and you see Yale's name come up and you're looking at Yale and you're looking at the teams on the 9 and 10 line, I'd rather play the teams on the 9 and 10 line. This is a team that's better than their profile, and that's just so damn good.
The answer to your question would be yes. It's been decades since Keggy the Keg made the NCAA tournament, but this would be Keggy's first Ivy Madness bid.
All right.
He's got to get there.
Yeah, I know.
We love Keggy.
We love Keggy.
The big game this week, Yale hosting Princeton, and they could put a nail in the coffin for the
Pretty
almost put a
much.
nail in the coffin for the Ivy League regular season title with a win here. They do have to host Cornell again later this season, but they just dominated at Cornell this
Yeah, they
weekend. So
did. And I they just seem like they're getting better.
Dorman over in the Metro Atlantic, and we've been loving the Marist story for a while, but now they've actually dropped all the way down to third place behind Merrimack and Quinnipiac. Although we still love pulling up their profile and seeing every game in Tier 4. Every single game in
Incredible.
Tier 4. Friday night, Siena right now would be the very, very last team in Tier 3, but if Marist wins that game, Siena should drop below 240, and we should hold it up. Sunday at Merrimack is going to be a big problem. There's no way we're getting Merrimack down into Tier 4, unfortunately.
Merrimack is a team they need to beat because Merrimack's playing much better ball of lately, and they're sitting there up at the top of their conference and looking really good. Quinnipiac lost the other day, but they've been playing much better as well. And in the middle there, 3 through 11 is, they're all within a game or two or three. It's tight. There's not much difference between any of these teams. I think it's going to be a wild ride to the conference tournament. And then once we get there, I think you could see a lot of upset by seed numbers because they see a lot of teams that are very similar in talent, and it'll be real exciting. But the team I see playing the best right now is either Merrimack or Quinnipiac at the top there.
I'm keeping an eye on this Iona team. We haven't paid much attention to them. They just had that road sweep of Mount St. Mary's and Marist this weekend. They're kind of a team that, you know, might be coming on suddenly here as well. The other thing is, remember that this year, for the first time ever, the Metro Atlantic is not taking the entire conference to the conference tournament. Only the top 10 go. So St. Peter's and Canisius not looking good at all, but there could be a nice battle for that final spot between a handful of teams here.
And that's disappointing because, like, with a 13-team conference tournament format, if you seed it straight, which the Big East used to do, it provides you for a quintuple header opening round.
And hold on a second, Greg Griggs. Up until this year, the Metro Atlantic had been playing first-round games and played the three women's first-round games. They were playing six games in a day, so don't you go insulting the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah, but it was two different tournaments. That's not a quintuple header. That's two triple headers. They're cheating.
Upcoming this week, Merrimack has got games at Manhattan, and then Sunday they're hosting Marist in a pretty interesting one. Quinnipiac hosting that Iona team we just discussed as well on Sunday. So a couple interesting games Sunday in the Metro Atlantic.
Yeah.
But Iona is sneaking in a home game against Ryder in that span.
Stalika over in the we already did the MAC, so let's jump right on ahead to something else. Anything else? How about the MEAC?
Yeah, this would be a conference that I think, according to Griggs' logic, only went, 28-28? I mean, that's the fewest number of losses that we've had. In, But other than that, it was a very quiet week with one non-D1 win, but a pair of wins for Howard to at least get within a game of Norfolk State for first place.
And the other story here, though, Griggs, is Maryland Eastern Shore. Zero D1 wins and probably in the driver's seat for the moment for our Hoops HD Centenary Award. Now, there might be disputes while we get a little longer along, but they're going to have to find a way to win a game if they don't want to be the clear favorite. Well, and they've got a few chances ahead here.
A team has been thrown out. We didn't discuss
We'll hold off on that one.
But we're halfway through conference play. Went 0-7 against the field. Did they even almost beat somebody?
They almost be Old Dominion, actually.
Not a conference play. Compensate by five. It might be rough. This is just an exceptionally bad team.
I'm circling this March 1st home game against Morgan State. That might be the one where they get the win.
Yeah. Or this is the MEAC, so they could get into the conference tournament and
they
knock
will be
out
in the
Norfolk.
Conference tournament.
Yeah, they and knock out Norfolk in the quarterfinal game. This conference has a history of bizarre. I think that every conference has one decent team that you look at and you're like that they could avoid the 16 line. Well, not all of them, but I'd say 27 of them do. And Norfolk, while they only have a one game lead over Howard, I think that they're not just the best, but they're clearly the best.
Well, we may get a preview here Saturday. Norfolk State is at Eastern Shore. That would be one of the biggest upsets of the entire season if that happens.
How far apart are we talking
about 179 to 362? It's close.
Yeah, not quite 200. It might still be the biggest one. I can't think of one that's bigger. I really can't. It might be the biggest. I mean, you know, normally you get one or two that are where teams are 200 apart, but I don't think we've had one yet.
Norfolk then hosting Delaware State Monday night. And that's actually, Delaware State's had some life in this conference at least.
So it wasn't this season, but I think it was a couple of years ago with Evansville upsetting Kentucky. They have been like 250 to 260 spots separating them.
It was 290 by the end of the year, and it's the biggest one that I know of ever.
And that Evansville team didn't win a single game in the Valley that year, did they?
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah. So you didn't have a sense of just how big it would be, but I don't – some deep-dive statistician like John Stalika might know of another one, but I've not found one in the history of college basketball where the metrics were that far apart between – I think that's the biggest upset of all time on paper, not the most important or just strictly based on how far apart the two teams were.
Dorman, over at the Missouri Valley Conference, we're discussing the Valley. And as we record this, we're at halftime right now, and Drake is up 8 on the road at Illinois State. So, assuming that score holds, this Drake team could be just adding more and more wins. This will be their 23rd win of the season if they hold on tonight.
They are playing great basketball. I think it's their 11th in a row, also, if they win tonight. Coach McCollum has done an incredible job. I thought the program was going to have a couple of rough middle of the conference years when Coach DeVries left for West Virginia and took his son with. But McCollum has done an incredible job. He brought some of his old players with him, and all they continue to do is win. I was putting the staff bracket together today, and I could see them as high as the 10 line. They are really, really hot. They're playing good basketball. Their numbers are strong. They're 3-1 against tier one and tier two. I love the way this team plays basketball. They share the ball well. They shoot the ball extremely well. They hit their free throws. This team is going to be – you're not going to want to be in this team's bracket. A lot of major schools are not going to be happy if their name comes up next to them. I think I picked Bradley earlier in the season. I've been a little disappointed because they've had games where they just totally didn't show up. They're a couple games back, but I think this is Drake's Valley to win.
Well, considering the shape my team is in right now, I would love to be in a practice with Drake.
Is this the story of the year? Not just the under the radar story, but minus Army making the NCAA tournament. I think that this really is, because it's not just a team exceeding expectations. It's a team that had a complete turnover, had mostly lower division players or guys that had never been played key roles on a D1 team. It's coaches that had not coached at the D1 level. They weren't just picked to be in the middle. They were picked to be at the bottom, and they're the top under the radar team. I think that's incredible.
Yeah. Look at this. I look at their schedule ahead here too. Assuming they get this one tonight, I think they could beat Bradley at home.
Yeah,
I think, but I think they have a
yeah. Northern Iowa can be tricky. Jacobson will have a good plan.
Yeah. Northern Iowa is Northern Iowa's on fire right now.
I think they can lose two games, one regular season, one conference tournament, and maybe even lose three games. They may be able to lose the Bradley and the Northern Iowa games, and lose the MVC championship game, and still be in the NCAA tournament. As long as they're not suffering another bad loss, they're not losing the home game to Missouri State, they're not losing a conference tournament quarterfinal to Murray State again or something like that.
Yeah.
I think this team has a real good shot in that large bid should they need it.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm with you.
Yeah. In Northern Iowa, I mean, we haven't talked about them yet, but I mean, their numbers are not there. It took them a while to get their motor started, but oh my God, are they just, I don't think they're as good as Bradley, but they're close. I mean, that is a good Northern Iowa team all of a sudden.
Yeah, and that Northern Iowa, it's still a couple weeks away, but that Drake at Northern Iowa game is going to be a huge game to circle coming up here. Bradley at Drake on Sunday is the big game. Northern Iowa, meanwhile, is going to be at Murray State. And then Northern Iowa, Belmont, and Drake hosting UIC. That is a revenge game for Drake also.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And also screams trap game.
Yeah.
Salika, one of our favorite conferences, the Northeast Woo-hoo. Conference, filled with ineligible red teams here, but Central Connecticut keeps winning, and it was a bounce back week for Long Island, who did not go from 6-0 to 6-6. They went from 6-0 to 6-4 to 8-4. So did
Where's
not
the other?
Fulfill my prophecy there.
Of course, the other interesting thing in play here in Long Island, they've already have 12 conference games in the books right here, where Central Connecticut and FDU both have only played 10. So they're going to be making up a little bit of ground right here. I don't know if that's in part due to the scheduling or whether there were weather cancellations along the way. So either way, Long Island probably going to be getting a little more rest down the stretch. Will that play a potential factor for the conference tournament?
That is some odd schedule. Why is that?
It's the odd schedule just because there's 9 teams. There's always somebody off, and it just kind of worked out that way. As of the moment, Central Connecticut and Lemoyne are one game behind everybody else, not having 11 or 12 games. But actually, there's several teams here with only 10 games.
Yeah, a bunch of 10s.
Yeah.
So, It's a yeah, but it is just kind of a,
Weird.
nine teams and travel involved and everything because you got to go to Chicago. Everyone's got to take those trips to Chicago.
But I do have to give a shout out to a Mercyhurst. I mean, keep in mind the Lakers are in their first year in D1 and they're still in the top half of the NEC. They're about at the two-thirds mark for the regular season.
And they've got the trip to Central Connecticut coming up tomorrow night. That'd be a huge upset. And then Central Connecticut gets St. Francis on Saturday.
Yeah, and then Mercyhurst gets the Stoners on Saturday.
There we go. The ineligible game. Circle that
Yeah.
one.
That'd be fun if Mercyhurst gave a game tomorrow night. That would be exciting.
They might. They have actually been a little bit competitive, so. Griggs, over in the Ohio Valley Conference, and where suddenly it is Southeast Missouri State who is, had the huge road sweep over Moorhead and Southern Indiana, then wins at Little Rock just last night, three straight road wins, and this team is looks like they're ready to take control of the conference.
I think I get that impression too. They've won six in a row, and this week they've knocked off, as you mentioned, they won at Morehead State and at Little Rock, both of whom were, Morehead State was in first place, and Little Rock was a conference front runner, probably two of the harder games on their schedule, and winning both of those, I think they're running downhill, and this is their conference to lose. Something to keep an eye on. I believe there's six conference games remaining, and Western Illinois four games out of eighth. So while they may not be eliminated via all the tiebreakers, it's getting close.
Yeah, they're the team that we hinted at earlier is going to be very close. I think that maybe they can clinch a tie to be eliminated this weekend, but not outright elimination. The other team to look
I'm
at.
on record saying they were going to the tournament for the first time this year.
Western Illinois?
Not happening.
Yeah,
I'm not going to the
sorry.
Ohio Valley tournament.
Not even going to the
Sorry,
Ohio
man.
Valley tournament this year,
It's
which
going
would
to be
also be a
tough to go to
first
the
for
other
them, wouldn't it?
tournament. Yeah, I think it would
Yeah.
be. Like this is a team that loves upsetting one seeds in quarterfinals. So
SEMO only one game this week. Saturday they're going to be hosting Tennessee Tech because they played the Tuesday night game. But keep an eye on SAU Edwardsville as well. They've got a pair of home games against UT Martin and Tennessee State. They could actually be in a tie with SEMO come next week when we do this show. So
They could be.
Stalika over in the Patriot League. We just saw tonight. Actually, Monday night, I'm sorry, American held on to beat a Game Lafayette team, and then Army with a big road win tonight at Maryland. So we've still got this two-way battle between two teams not named Colgate.
Yeah, not to mention we also have two teams in the Beltway Five that are either at the top of the conference or near the top of their conference. So naturally, we're talking about American and George Mason right here. Good to see the Eagles are going to be a game up on Army right now. Chad, don't you have a nice little soundbite for the American Eagles here?
For the American
No,
Eagles. Oh, they got. All
we don't
right. Yeah, not for
need.
the American Eagles.
No,
I
we
won't
don't
do it. I
need.
won't torture you. But how about this Army team? This team has never been to the NCAA tournament, and here they are, just a game out of first place, conference tournament being played on campus sites. Real good shot to host at least two games in the conference.
Yeah, and they had a big win over Bucknell. They've got a, next week they play American, and in a game that could determine first place. Now, if they split the season and they end up tied, I don't know how the Patriot breaks that tie. I think it's, the highest remaining win. So like whoever lost to the lowest remaining team is, or the highest. I think it goes down to wins against the rest of the season. Yeah, I don't know how they do
You are getting that upgrade. You need some help.
Could you
Yeah,
imagine a championship game on TV at West Point?
oh my God, it would be amazing.
Incredible.
We have a real shot at that. Army, before that game, home game against American, though, they got their game at Navy, and Navy beat them once already this season.
Yeah, they
So, and
did.
that is the big rivalry. So, this is a huge week ahead for this Army team. They can go 2-0, though. Wow, they could be in great shape to try to win this conference regular season.
That was at West Point where Navy will have beaten Army.
Over here, Griggs, I'm sorry, I'm up to Dorman first. Dorman, over in the SoCon, and little news out of this conference just tonight before we started, where Chattanooga goes to Samford, not only wins, but wins in dominant fashion.
Yeah, I didn't see that coming. I was waiting for Samford to get back in the game, and they really never did. They kept them at arm's length, and Samford couldn't really hit any shots, and they couldn't put a run together. And Chattanooga looked strong. They looked in control of the game the whole way, like they've been in charge of a lot of these conference games as of late. And I think this might be a two-team race here with Greensboro and Chattanooga as we go down the stretch. I hope Samford plays good enough and strong enough to stay in it and hopefully give them a race and have a solid two or three seed here. But I don't know. I've been impressed with Greensboro and Chattanooga the last few weeks.
Yeah, this has been such a weird conference where first it was Furman early on the season. Now they've fallen apart. And now Samford back-to-back losses. Maybe they're falling apart.
After looking so good, they've skidded off the road a little bit here. And then Chattanooga, they started the season off 0-3. They were a team we were big on coming into the season during the preseason shows as being one of the, I think we were probably even overvaluing them, but even when they got off to that slow start, we were saying, well, don't give up on them yet. This is a good team. They're going to win a lot of games. And now I think they look better than anyone else. I mean, to go into Samford, which is not an easy place to win, and win the way that they did. And then you look at them and you're like, my God, they're 10-3 overall. They're 18-8 against D1. And that was after an 0-3 start. This Samford team, or I'm sorry, this Chattanooga team's on a roll.
Also keep in mind, Samford and Furman were probably two of the teams we thought would be at the top of the conference. This would be a quarterfinal matchup if these seedings hold.
Interesting week here, though. East Tennessee State at Chattanooga here on Saturday, while Greensboro is going to be at Furman. Then Wednesday, not so much Western Carolina, Chattanooga, but Furman at Samford also here. So there's a lot of interesting games. Samford, meanwhile, has to go to Wofford over the weekend.
How
This is
about
a lot to play
VMI
for in
with
this conference.
six conference wins? Good God. It's been a while.
VMI really has a shot now to avoid that opening round. They got to get up one more spot in the standings, but they are almost every year. Although, Griggs, if the
Although,
standings
look at
hold,
what the 7-10 game would be
that'd
if
be
the
a fun
conference
game.
record. Yeah.
Griggs, over in the Southland Conference, McNeese bounced back from their loss last week. They took care of Northwestern State. They took care of East Texas A&M. Here they are at 13-1 now.
Yeah, and they're kind of sleepwalking. I mean, you don't get the sense. Whenever you watch McNeese, you're like, this team has a higher gear, and they're just choosing not to play up to it. But even in the lower gear, they're running away from the conference. They don't always blow teams out and look like the top 50 round of 32 caliber team that we thought they would be coming into the year. But I guess they're doing enough to dominate the league.
Yeah, I don't think there's many other. There's really not much else to discuss in here. Only the top eight teams make the conference tournament. East Texas A&M on the verge of being eliminated from the conference tournament, but that would they're already eliminated from the NCAA tournament consideration. McNeese this week has a game at New Orleans and a game at Southeastern Louisiana. Southeastern Louisiana tied for second place, kind of coming out of nowhere to move into second place tie. So
Sela a
that
little
one.
bit hot, and maybe some momentum going into that what is amounts to a showcase game against McNeese. So
Stalica, over in the Southwestern Athletic Conference, and last night, which is Monday night, Southern fell to Alabama State on the road by 1 point, but still in dominating the conference at the moment.
Yeah, it was because of the Southern loss that Chad had pointed out that we only have two teams remaining that are undefeated in conference overall. But you had a feeling that the Jags, and to some extent, you were surprised they lasted as long as they did. I also was looking at a team like Texas Southern that seemed to have completely fallen off the tracks over the past week with losses to both Florida schools at home. That might be the bigger surprise than Southern dropping a game at Alabama State.
Well, Texas Southern fell apart when they went to Pine Bluff and lost the game. That was when they fell apart. Yeah, I still like the Southern team a lot better than anybody else in the league.
Oh
I know
yeah,
they,
me too.
yeah, they lost the game at Alabama State. I don't fault them for that too much.
Yeah.
They've got home games against Prairie View and Texas Southern this week. We'll see what happens with those. Meanwhile, I guess Dorman over in the Summit League. Just get through the last few
Woohoo!
conferences here. And
Yeah.
how about Omaha? They pick up the 2-0 week while South Dakota State suffered the loss. Oh, sorry, St. Thomas suffered the loss to South Dakota State. So Omaha now in sole possession of first place.
Yeah, Omaha's playing well. I think the best team in the conference, especially if you're going to get rid of St. Thomas because they're not eligible. I thought the offense, a power of South Dakota State was going to be enough to maybe to get tighter with Omaha and maybe push them for the
North Dakota
conference.
State, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think Omaha is playing the best in the conference. I think they go into the Summit League with the one seed, and it's going to take. The offenses are so great in this league. So, if you're off one night, the other teams are shooting hot, you can go down. But the team that I'm the most impressed with is the team at the top there, Omaha. But this is going to be a real fun conference tournament. It always is because it's a lot of offense and there's some good firepower, in the South Dakotas and the North Dakotas state this year. So it should be fun. But I like Omaha right
Let's
now.
throw. Go ahead, Griggs.
I was just like, is everyone aware of what turned Omaha's season around? At least according to them, is they start. This is great. You have to Google it or search it on X.com or Twitter or whatever it is. They beat up a trash can in the locker room
The head
after
coach
every
does,
game.
yep.
Yeah, and since they started doing that, what are they, 12-1, 13? I mean, they've only lost one game since December, since this ritual started, and that's great. And I hope that when this conference tournament goes on, that we that makes gets national attention, because what, yeah, it's awesome. They've got people jumping off of benches and body slamming the trash can. It's just
Yeah, but more importantly, will I be able to take a 5-gallon trash can to Sioux Falls to redeem some popcorn?
Yes.
Yeah,
A lot of popcorn, Dean. A lot of
I didn't
popcorn.
realize when they were doing that promotion where they got the ideas for the trash can. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been following their season, but we don't know what they're doing in their locker room. We're not quite that good, but it is incredible. Search that out.
Well, the rest of us did, Greg, just not you.
Yeah.
But anyhow, one quick note here. St. Thomas is eligible for the Summit League tournament. Should they win it, the automatic bid goes to the one seed. So even more important for Omaha, or should St. Thomas be the one seed, it would go to the two seed. So Omaha could have the top two teams themselves or St. Thomas win the conference tournament and they go to the NCAA tournament. So something to pay attention to there. And there is a huge game coming up this weekend in the Summit League. First Omaha goes to South Dakota State, but
That
then
is
on
a big one.
Saturday, Omaha at St. Thomas. A huge game Saturday. Huge week for Omaha, actually.
Yeah.
Those two games. And if they could sweep this week, this conference is over. I don't know they can.
I
I don't
think
think they
so.
I don't think
Yeah.
they can sweep this week. They might go 0-2 this week, quite honestly.
They
They
could.
might, yeah.
St. Thomas shoots the ball beautifully.
Over in Griggs, over in the Sun Belt Conference, which was the other half of that Sun Belt MAC Challenge. So you see all those red games there.
Yeah.
And other than an Arkansas State win tonight, that was all the action we had this week.
Yeah. So again, not a whole lot of movement. It's still super log jammed, and it still feels like every game is super pivotal because of the bizarre conference tournament format, and one game could make the difference between two or three rounds. So
Once again, this
I
is not a joke what you're
yeah,
seeing on the screen. This is real.
this is real. This is the kind of thing we would absolutely joke about, but this is not, this happens to be real. It's a 7-round event. And Arkansas State, I still feel like they're the most dangerous team. They're the team with the highest ceiling. But yeah, they did lose two straight before getting the win tonight. I mean, they just blew them out tonight. But you got South, you got App State suddenly up in the standings. I don't know where Troy came from, but there they are. JMU getting a little bit hot all of a sudden. I think they've won three out of their last four or something like that. Marshall kind of coming out of nowhere. How could everybody be winning? I don't see how that's possible.
As we record this, actually, Troy put in the finishing close touches on Louisiana tonight as well, so they'll move into temporarily into sole possession of second place. I
Yeah.
believe the rest of the teams are all playing tomorrow night. Here's actually is that rest of that schedule. Marshall, South Alabama, App State, Coastal Carolina, James Madison, Georgia Southern. Big one, I guess, Saturday, Troy at Arkansas State.
Yeah, but they're all kind of big. I mean, App State needs to hold serve. Marshall needs to hold
South
serve.
Alabama next
South
week at
Alabama
Arkansas
at
State.
Arkansas State. That's a good one. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, if you're going to watch all the important games, you'd never watch anything but the Sun Belt.
Especially, you've got to finish at
Yeah.
least the top four seeds. Maybe really the top two, but at least the top four if you want any chance of getting through this thing.
Look at that. We're going to have fun covering that during championship week.
Be
We're
great.
covering every single night championship week. We're talking Sunbelt at some point or another.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's going to be Sunbelt week.
Stalika, last conference, the WAC, and just when we thought Grand Canyon was turning things on, they go to California
Whoa.
Baptist over the weekend.
Yeah, this was the one-time team of the people and the Lancers who had interrupted their run after Grand Canyon was coming off an emotional win against Utah Valley. So, but
Grand
because
Canyon
of that,
also former team of the people.
yeah,
Two,
because of
both
that
teams of
slip-up,
people.
Yeah.
yep, and now the Wolverines get the lead back in the WAC to themselves.
And maybe Dorman, we should talk a little about this Utah Valley team because we've all been just kind of saying, oh, the Lopes, the Lopes, the Lopes, the Lopes, the Lopes.
Yeah.
But Utah Valley's in sole possession of first place. And they got the split with Grand Canyon.
Their toughest games are behind them. Exactly right, Chad. Probably their roughest game left is probably the home game against Seattle. Coach Phillips has done a great job. They really bear down on defense and work you. They make you score. They don't give up easy baskets. Their numbers on the predictives are solid. Every time I see him play, I'm impressed. I really like the way that they play together, and they're tough and they're physical. And I thought Grand Canyon was going to be the class of this conference coming into the season, and Utah Valley has said no. And Utah Valley, to be honest, has just been a better basketball team.
I think they have it. I think there's a strong case that maybe Utah Valley is a team that comes out of this conference tournament as a champion.
Wouldn't that be something? I mean, this roster is deep. It's talented. And you can't say it's kind of crazy to look at a team that's 17 and 6 and say that they've really underachieved. But this was a team that I think we all sort of thought that they would be the under the radar school that broke into the top 25 that was, way inside the bubble. Grand Canyon has just not lived up.
Yeah, and Grand Canyon's got two road games, Tarleton at Texas Arlington, Utah Valley, a Beehive game at Southern Utah. Those are the games
Yeah.
this week. And I guess speaking of Beehive games, why don't we check in on the Beehive Conference?
Yeah, we got our mythical conference this
The
year.
battle for the old bucket.
Yeah. Bring back the butt. We want that bucket back.
And how
Wait a
about
minute,
Utah Valley?
Chad, there's a problem here. I don't see the conference ranking.
Yeah, these conferences are above conference
Oh,
rankings.
okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Utah Valley, how about that? Not only leading the WAC, but also a tie for Utah at the top of the Beehive.
Yeah, that is crazy.
But over their last six regular season games, Utah Valley is going to have three of their final six in the Beehive, so they can't rest on their laurels at 2-0 here.
But watch out for Southern Utah. They've been biding their time. They're finally getting into Beehive action this week.
Yeah, I mean, a couple
First
wins could,
games.
yeah, and they're at home. A couple wins could send them right to the top and get that
Utah
mythical
Valley,
automatic bid.
a Utah Valley, Utah State game would actually be fantastic.
It'd be better than anybody playing Utah right now, I'll tell you that much.
Yes.
Front Range Conference, and I love this here. Colorado, winless in the Big 12, undefeated in the Front Range still. This Colorado team can win and lose a conference in the same season. I mean,
Yes.
I'm so excited for these
Oh,
Colorado team this year.
yeah,
Tad
and
Boyle
we
should not feel any heat as he is sitting atop this.
right.
This is way
Oh.
more important than doing being
Wayne.
successful in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah,
Wayne,
winning the front
his
range.
job is safe.
Oh, we got a couple games. We got Wyoming, Colorado State. That is the key rivalry in this
Anymore.
conference. And then Air Force Wyoming on Tuesday. So big week for Wyoming.
Big week for Wyoming, yeah.
Let's check into the back range. Down there in Arizona, New Mexico, UTEP.
Yeah.
UTEP with that win over New Mexico State, still alive, but Arizona, Dorman, your school, winning the back range for now.
Yeah, very important to the school and the administration and Coach Tommy Lloyd. So yeah, it's been a very successful year.
And we've seen how heated the back range can get.
Yes.
You know, we had the situation between New Mexico and New Mexico State a few years ago. We had Bobby Hurley, just the tension from the back range getting to him, not shaking hands.
Yeah, he's not going to give what's his name Love any votes.
No votes, no votes.
For the back range.
No back range games this week. Let's check in on how about the top range? Idaho State, you
How
mentioned them earlier. How about this team? 4-0,
about
running away with the
that?
top range. Gonzaga, forget about it.
Yeah. Idaho State's a lot more fun than Gonzaga this year.
True.
And a huge week. They've got to go to both Montana schools this week, but they can put a stamp on and wrap this up this week, quite honestly.
They can, and we have a trophy. Our friend, our fans and friends in Idaho. When I made the comment, I suppose that's a rivalry. Boy, was yeah, the Idaho State playing for what is it?
King Smith
King
Trophy. We don't have
Spud
I don't have that
Trophy.
up on the
Oh,
screen.
we don't have
Anymore. You
that.
can look at
Okay,
it.
all
All
right.
right. Yeah,
Well,
but
there's like two different versions of King Spud floating around, where you get the
yeah.
more modern version that's
Oh
on a
yeah.
3D printer, and then you also get the old one from what, the 50s or the 60s.
I love that King Spud.
A couple good rivalry games. So after the two Idaho State games, Idaho Eastern Washington, Gonzaga,
Yeah.
Washington State. So
Oh, Gonzaga
exciting,
Wazoo. Yeah.
exciting week in the top range here.
Yeah.
And I know this is our most mythical of all the conferences. Never could really happen here. But Conference of Champions, Conference of
Yeah.
Champs. We've got to fix that little screen error there. I'll get that fixed next
Yeah.
week. It got cut off there. I think that's where the new conference ranks were showing up on the screen. But Oregon State with a win over Wazoo. And I got to throw another shout out to Colorado here. First place in the front range, last place in the Big 12, and last place in the Conference of Champions. What a
And I
amazing.
do have to shout out to Oregon State and Washington State for at least keeping the Pac-12 logo
On
current
the
on
court.
along with the WCC.
No games this week. Let's run to our top 10 list for today. Griggs and Sleek and I all voted. Dorman on no, you didn't get a chance to vote. You at least comment on our choices. We've got a few honorable mentions. Did not quite make our top 10. Let's see. Yeah, there they are. We got Jacksonville State, Cleveland State, Northern Iowa, Lipscomb, and even a vote for Utah Valley as an
Whoa,
honorable mention.
wow.
That's their first appearance in the top 10 list this season. At number 10, the Lopes hanging in there just barely.
Barely, yeah.
At number 9, High Point moving back into the polls after being
There
off
we
them for a
go.
while.
Yeah, so
Arkansas State still in there at number eight.
still in there after, well, a nice win tonight, but kind of a bad week.
McNeese hanging in there at number 7. At number 6, Samford.
Yeah,
Ooh, that
that was
was before.
before. That was before.
They would drop. We might see Jacksonville
Before.
State move into the poll with that, and Samford drop out entirely with what they did tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yale coming in at number 5.
Yeah, and this
Strong.
is a strong top five.
Akron at 4. We
Akron at
started the show
4.
with them.
Yeah.
UC Irvine at 3.
I think we
Conference
didn't
mate
vote.
UC State, you go
Oh, and a
number
new
one.
number one.
And a new number one official as of this week. Here it is. The Drake Bulldogs, rightfully so. I made the case last week. They should have been number one. They did. They made it there this week. Congrats.
Yeah.
No, let's move to any final thoughts. Sleek, let me start with you.
I think when you see the teams that are at the top right here, we're starting to see some compelling reasons as to why at least our panel is starting to put them in mock brackets on the 10 and 11 lines. When you see teams like Wake Forest, who are above the radar, just completely shoot themselves in the crotch after what they did against Florida, that's not good compared to what teams like Drake are doing, that they just keep winning after one bad week to a start 2025. So you can't just ignore what Drake, UC San Diego, UC Irvine are doing. And obviously, you can't ignore Yale and Akron if they continue running the table in their respective conferences either.
No, you can't. Dorman.
With the under the radar conference tournaments, we spoke a lot about teams and where the cut was and how many teams were getting in. I really wish all the under the radar conferences would let all their member schools play in the tournaments. It's the thing to me about college basketball that has been special, that going to the conference tournaments, everyone got their one last chance in March. You got to see, you got to go where all the teams are playing together if it wasn't on campus, and you got one last, go at it. And we see upsets all the time, and if you don't, that's the way you go out. But especially with the under the radar, the power conferences, they get all the chances in the world. But I'd love to see the under the radar conferences. Let all these schools play in the conference tournament. If it's another round or two, so be it. Let them all play.
Yeah, especially you conferences like the Ohio Valley, Southland, the Metro Atlantic now this year, with two, three, four teams that they don't allow into the conference tournaments. SWAC got a little better this year, Dorman. They used to only take the top eight. They moved it up to 10. Not quite all 12, but they got
Better.
slightly better. Slightly better.
And I say this in all honesty, a lot of these conference tournaments under the radars are great atmospheres and great arenas and gyms, and it's just a special time of the year to let all the kids and student athletes and coaches participate one last time together.
By the way, check out the conference tournament tab up there if you want to see all those conference tournament brackets. Griggs, you want to finish off the show?
Yeah, I'll kind of piggyback off of what Dorman said. Like, I'm all for letting all of the teams participate in the conference tournament fields, but I also feel that conferences that do things to protect their first place teams and their higher seeds, either with ladder brackets or in my favorite campus sites, are doing it right. Like when an under the radar conference has its conference tournament at a predetermined site and or uses a standard seed, it makes the regular season a little bit less meaningful. The Sun Belt might be taking that a little too far,
Their top seeds are very protected, Griggs. You cannot argue that. And they fulfill Dorman's wish of every team in
And then everything's in
the
it.
field.
So they do check both boxes. But how exciting is it now, like week to week, when you look at the under the radar, like when we come on to do the shows, and then when we're doing the write-ups and you're looking at the conference, oh, first place here, that could mean, I mean, how much fun has the Patriot League been? I'll just use them as an example with that conference race, or the America East is another one. Like, can Maine catch them? Can Maine get home court advantage? I just think that I just love those storylines.
They are great storylines, and it's going to be a great last couple of weeks here. We've only got 2.5 weeks of regular season play left before some
That's
conference
it.
tournaments start. Wow. But anyhow, on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, John Slica, and David Dorman, I'm Chad Sherwood. Do want to thank you for joining us. We'll be back Sunday night with a bracket rundown, Monday with the Hoops HD report, and next Wednesday with our penultimate Under the Radar show. How about that?
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.